today on Life Talk.
Born again, born twice. Born once you're blind, born twice you see. Born once you're hellbound, born twice you're heaven bound. Born once you're lost, born twice you're found. So the word regeneration is born again. The Holy Spirit at regeneration comes back into the cleansed believer's body and quickens his dead spirit back to life again.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
I think as a pastor, I've seen that one of the hardest things to get Christians to understand and fully embrace is that while good works don't save us, good works do confirm that we've been saved. In the book of Titus, in just three brief chapters, Paul the Apostle admonishes Christians four different times to become involved in good works. He also tells us what this accomplishes in the spiritual development of the believer. I believe today's word is going to richly bless you, so grab that Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Saved to Do What Is Good, from our series out of the book of Titus. We're going to see Paul mention three different times the importance of the Christian being involved in good works. Three times. He's already mentioned good works once. The Christian should exemplify good citizenship, being subject to rulers and authorities. And keep in mind, folks, that Paul wrote this during the wicked Emperor Nero's reign. We're advised to be ready for every good work. He says, to be ready, to be ready. We are to be ready for every good work. If you have Bible faith that got you saved, that same faith is going to move you into works. You are going to be involved in good works. Now, not only are we called to good works, but also, he says in verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all meekness to all men. We're not to speak evil of anybody. A heart full of hate can do anything. That's why Jesus said, you better deal with an offense when the offense happens, and don't let the offense move forward. What is the single most successful trap that Christians fall into, no matter how much you teach on it, is falling into the trap of offense. I get offended, I don't deal with it, I develop a grudge, I nurse that grudge until it becomes anger, and anger becomes bitterness, and bitterness becomes hatred, and before you know it, you're out of your walk with God, you're out of the church, there's no more peace, you're not praying anymore, because the offense, like a thief, has moved into your heart, and you didn't deal with it at the beginning. That's why I say, immediately forgive. Immediately forgive. So that you can nip it in the bud so that it doesn't develop into something that is bigger than you. What a condition we were in. But next comes the good news. Everybody say, I'm ready for some good news. Here it is in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Hallelujah. Thank God for that when. Amen. But when God's kindness appeared in the midst of our dark sinfulness, when we were wallowing in the muck and the mire of sin and evil, suddenly there he was. There he was. God, our Savior. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared. How many of you are grateful for that hour, that moment? When the kindness and the love of God appeared in your darkness. Boy, I remember it like yesterday. And you know what he wants us to understand? None of it was of us, by us, or from us. Because he says in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We did nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Not 1% of our salvation, not a half a percent, not a scintilla, not a thimbleful. Yeah.
of our salvation was of us. But according to his mercy, according to his mercy, he saved us. We did nothing to earn it. It was all of him, and it was none of us. Now, this is one of the hardest truths for us to accept, and not only accept, but walk in. Because something deep within us, and I don't know if you still deal with this, but I do from time to time, something deep within us is convinced that we've got to do something. We've got to do something to help God along. We've got to do something. Some good work, something meritorious, some way that we gain a little bit more of his favor, because after all, he's watching. And if I do the right thing, then I'm going to have him love me more. I'm going to have him accept me more. I'm going to have him receive me more based on what I do. And we can't get in our heads that that is not the way Christianity operates. Now, we are to involve ourselves in good works, but good works or the lack thereof don't increase or decrease the love of God towards us one whit. He loves me as much when I fail him as when I obey him. He loves me just as much. Because see, we take it back to being raised by parents. And if I did the right thing, I had their favor. I had their smile. If I did the wrong thing, man, I was in trouble. I was in the woodshed. I was sent to my room. I was paddled or whatever. Hey, my parents whooped me. I'm just telling you, they did. I can still hear the sound of my dad's belt coming off. So we take our parental raising, the way we were raised with our parents, and we project that onto God. But God says, no, you didn't do anything to earn your salvation. You can't do anything to earn my favor. I chose to save you. It was according to his mercy, he saved us. This truth about God's grace flies in the face of all other religions. You take any cult, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, any cult, they always require works in order to gain acceptance from God and the cult leadership. You've got to jump through hoops. Amen. You've got to do some things to gain favor. And if you don't do the right works, you're not received. Amen. But I don't do any works for God to get received. Now, I'll do a work for God to obey him. Yes. But that has nothing to do with how he receives me or not. Yes. He loves me no matter what. And then there's some people, and I've talked to some of these people lately, because I tell you all the time, I try my best to talk to lost people as much as I can, and I want to encourage you to do the same. And there are people you talk to, and I talked to one just recently, that the very idea that they are good enough to get into heaven betrays how deceived they are. Because I've had them tell me, I had one tell me just last week, I'm really okay with the guy upstairs. I'm quoting now, I have not been a bad person. And then this person said to me, the most I've ever done is hurt people's expectations of me, but that's the worst I've ever done. Other than that, I've been a pretty good guy, and I think I'm okay when I die. He literally told me this. He told me this straight up. I'm okay. Listen, not according to the Bible. See, what they do, people who believe that, who feel that way, they compare themselves, and my dad was that way for the longest time. They compare themselves with drug addicts, prisoners, thieves, murderers, swindlers, prostitutes, and others that society frowns on. And they say, see, in comparison to them, I'm not like them. I'm a good person by comparison, so I'm getting through the pearly gates while they're not. And there are many people around you who believe that about themselves. And this is the very attitude that Jesus brought out in a simple story that I want to read to you out of Luke's gospel. Because I want to just shoot that notion out of the room. Luke 18, verse 9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Verse 10. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. Not me. I'm certainly not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a what, everybody? Sinner. What did Jesus say in verse 14? I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, return home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So according to Jesus, one of the great dangers to becoming saved is self-righteousness. Yeah. To believe you have no sin to forgive because you're so wonderful. Amen. That though some people like those tax collectors and drug addicts and so on are going to go to hell, not you, because you are you after all. Amen. Well, John in his first letter bluntly says this in 1 John 1 verse 10, or verse 8 rather. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yeah. And then verse 10, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him, that is God and Christ, out to be a liar and his word is not in us. If you say, I don't have any sin, you've just called Christ a liar. Amen. Why did he even need to come if we have no sin? Amen. No, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. So, not by our own works, but by his mercy, he saved us. Now, Paul next describes just how God saved us, and I love this. He says in verse 5, halfway through the washing of regeneration. Through the washing of regeneration. This is how he saved us. The word washing is from the Greek word lutron, meaning to have a bath. Through the bath of regeneration. In God's sight, folks, our sin is so vile. We require a spiritual bath. Yeah. Our bodies were intended to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our spirits were intended to be his shrine. But when sin entered the fall, the Holy Spirit departed. What a sad day that was. Can you imagine being Adam? And the Bible tells us that Adam walked with God in the cool of the garden like two friends. Walked with God. He talked to God and God talked back. But when Adam sinned, suddenly God departed. For me, hell, the worst part of it, is that God's not there. The Holy Spirit's not there. You're in a place forever that will never be visited by God. I think of every morning when I get up and I get into the Word of God, it has been my habit for years, I get into that Word and I spend time with him, and how that presence, he walks with me, as the song says, he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. There is that fellowship we have with him. And when the very thought of never, ever, ever experiencing that again is too much for me. But that's hell. That's hell. The total absence of God. The total absence of light. The total absence of love. That's hell.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
When sin entered the fall, the Holy Spirit departed, leaving Adam and Eve and us by default spiritually dead. So before the Holy Spirit can re-enter his temple, there has to be a total cleansing. And how does that happen? By the blood of God's Lamb, Jesus. How many of you can say, I'm thankful for the blood of the Lamb? Yeah. Amen? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Because that's the way I get into the presence. That's the way I got into the presence, and I get into it every day. So once the washing, the lutron, once that has taken place, the regeneration can take place. He says, by the washing of regeneration. Now, the word regeneration literally means born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born twice to enter the kingdom of God. That's regeneration. Born again. Born twice. Born once, you're blind. Born twice, you see. Born once, you're hellbound. Born twice, you're heavenbound. Born once, you're lost. Born twice, you're found. So the word regeneration is born again. The Holy Spirit at regeneration comes back into the cleansed believer's body and quickens his dead spirit back to life again. What a powerful truth. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, what did he do? Made us alive together with Christ. We were dead, he made us alive. So you could be walking around on this planet, and maybe somebody listening later by radio, some of our radio friends are listening right now, and maybe you're going to work, coming home, raising a family, earning a good paycheck, you got a good education, you're socially mobile and you're moving upward and a lot of your dreams are coming true. But let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus, you're a dead man, a dead woman walking. Now, I don't say that condescendingly. I say it in love. We were dead in trespasses. And unless you go through that lutron, that washing through the blood of Jesus, and then the Holy Ghost quickens your spirit back to life, your inner man, your interior life is dead. You must be born twice. There is no option. We could put it this way. When man was created, he was generated. That just means to cause to be. You know, we talk about you've got a generator at your house. So if the power goes out, you've got a generator. You can crank it, and that generator will power your house. So when we were created by God, we were generated. He breathed into us the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We were generated, caused to be. But when we fell, when Adam fell, he was degenerated. He lost the power, lost the life. He departed from normalcy. But then when a man is born again, he is regenerated, restored to normalcy, recreated, re-quickened to life. So the story of man is really generation to degeneration to regeneration. Amen. Amen. And then he says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Spirit simply is talking about the continuing operation of the Holy Spirit in the life of the regenerated believer. He's telling us renewing of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get technical here, but it's in what we call the present active indicative in the Greek language. And what that means is something that is ongoing, something that is happening every day. Didn't Paul say in another place, we are renewed how often? Day by day. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's the continuing operation of the Holy Spirit in the life of the regenerated believer. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God is working in you every day. For it is God at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's talking about the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He's renewing us day by day. Though the outer man is perishing, didn't Paul write about this? The inward man is being renewed. Say it with me, day by day. God is now back in your life when you're regenerated. You've been restored to the normalcy God always intended for us, that being to walk with him. Walking with God is normal. Living without God is abnormal. Yes. The believer has been radically changed from the inside out. Paul wrote, old things have passed away. All things are made new. And then Paul says in verse 6, whom he poured out on us, speaking of the Holy Ghost, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Can I just point out real quick that he used the personal pronoun whom when referring to the Holy Spirit so that it's very clear the Holy Spirit is not an it or a force or some kind of spiritual fog, but is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The person of the Holy Spirit lives in us. And what does he tell us about him? He's been given to us abundantly. Believers have a vast supply of living water God pours out in a never failing stream. Amen. But you got to go get it. You got to get up every day and get with God. Because when I get with God every day, I'm going to the stream and I'm drinking what he gave me. But I've got to take advantage of it. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Now let me ask you a question. Going back to the Old Testament, you remember when the people were crying and griping and complaining about not having water? Remember that? And what did God tell Moses to do? He told Moses to go to the rock and speak to it. He had to go to the rock and use the authority God gave him and obey God and speak to it. And another time, hit it with the rod, and the water came out. We've got to do the same thing. We've got to get up and get with God and strike the word with the rod of faith and say, "Speak to me. I want the water. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty." They had to get up and gather the manna. They had to go to the rock to get the water, and the rock that followed them was Christ. It's all a living illustration of New Testament truth. Yes. We must go to the Word of God. We must go to the place of prayer and strike it with the rod of faith. And when you do, the water gushes out. I never close that Bible without having drunk of the spiritual living waters of the Spirit. Yes. And it carries me through the rest of the day. Now, finally, in the last verse I'm going to deal with tonight, Paul looks to the future, but he first deals with justification. Now everybody perk up, because this is so important. We understand justification. He says in verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, the word justified here is a legal term that means to be declared righteous before the law. The law has no claim against a justified person. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Justification, folks, is greater than forgiveness. In this respect, a person who has been proven guilty may be forgiven by the offended party while still facing the consequences of their actions. I told you I watch the ID channel all the time. I watch real life crime stories all the time because I see the hand of God at work all the time in these stories. And I've seen stories where a family member was murdered. And I've seen, like, the parents or the siblings forgive the killer, but the killer still went to prison. He's forgiven, but he still went to prison. But listen, a justified person has been acquitted. There is no more record of being guilty. The guilty slate has been wiped clean. So when he says we've been justified, that's better than forgiven. Because I can be forgiven but still receive consequences for sin. But justified is, it's as if I never did it. That's why I love justification, is just as if I never did it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The salvation Jesus brought to us not only offers forgiveness, but it justifies the believer, acquitting them of all charges. Yeah. The record of our sins is eternally expunged from God's memory. Say, "God, do you remember what I did?" "No. What'd you do?" "Well, you know, right back there in, you know, 2002, I this and that." And the other guy says, "I don't remember." "Well, how do you not remember? You're God. Because I buried what you did in the sea of forgiveness, and you're justified. Therefore, it's just as if you never did it."
Amen.
Hello, everybody.
Amen.
It's just as if you never did it. So when you go before God, thank God he's got God-induced amnesia. He does not. It's been wiped away by the power of the blood that not only forgives but justifies us. And then he says, he ends with the future, so that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope points forward. Hope never looks back. Hope points forward. Because all charges against us have been thrown out of heaven's court, we will inherit as heirs the eternal life only Jesus can offer. And that's a future focus. That's all about our future. No wonder the Holy Spirit tells us in Hebrews 7:25 that we have been saved to the uttermost. Now that's the salvation I like, to the uttermost. As somebody put, we've been saved from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. 844-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.